You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
And I'm Sam Tweedle.
And I'm Adam Bishop.
And this is the first time I've been in the studio with Adam Bishop, and his enthusiasm is pretty awesome. I mean, you wouldn't believe the smile on this guy's face right now. It looks like his face is going to break. He is smiling so wide. Does that hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You wouldn't believe this guy. He's like, aw.
It's because I'm always excited to be here.
I know. It's just like I'm like tired and old, and you're just like, all right, it's the Hey Kids Comic Show. I'm so happy to be here. I'm Adam Bishop. You know, it's amazing. I'm so happy to be here with you today, Adam.
I'm happy.
Stunned silence.
Okay. All right, stunned silence.
I'm shocked.
Right. Shocked for what? Sure.
For comics.
Oh, all right, that's a great lead-in.
Not really.
No.
That was a terrible segue.
What?
No. That was a fantastic. I think we've had worse segues.
We've built a career on worse segues.
Okay.
Like that one.
Yeah, that was. I think the worst segue we have is so comics. That's the worst segue we have.
That's just like hitting a hammer hitting the topic. Like, yeah, we've been off topic for long enough. It's time for comics.
Bam. Right. Well, it's been a while since I've been here, so I'm king of getting us off topic. So I'm. Let's see if we can actually talk about comics today. Adam, you got a stack of comics there. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you got there?
So the first comic on my stack is issue 1 of Faust. Because for the last, month or so, we've been talking about the movie a little bit. Martin got a Region 2 version from, I think it was France. Mm-hmm. And being the nice guy that I am, I know he was looking for Region 1, but they're about $80. I found him a copy for only $13. I think he got it yesterday or today.
So give me a little background on this book. Like, what is this?
What
year did it come out?
1987.
Were you even born?
Yes.
Were you?
Okay. Born.
All right. Cool. I was in the seventh.
Adam is younger than me.
I was in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, it's about a man. Well, I'm on the first issue right now. I'm going through all of them in order. But right now, this devil man showed up and started stabbing people in the head and ripping their throats out. It's pretty great.
And they made this into a movie.
Yeah, which a lot of people think ripped Spawn off, but it came out after Spawn. But when you read the book and then probably watch the movie, you might think that Spawn ripped it off.
Okay. So I've never heard of it or the movie.
Yeah, this is a second print of the comic. I would assume the first print might be a little bit more expensive than what I paid for this guy, which was $2. And it's well worth it.
The price is right.
Yeah, I can't go into all the graphic detail what's in it because it's definitely not for kids. It says adult reading.
I read that.
Yeah, I can't. Can't really describe what
they don't really do that
for adults. Then why are you reading it?
I know, because I'm a child. Yeah, so like there's people can't see, but people's insides being ripped out, which most parents wouldn't care. It's the sexual content that parents would probably have an issue.
Of course.
Yeah, because you don't care if your kids see someone get murdered, but if there's a boob in there, watch out.
Yeah,
my child's scarred for life.
I love those. I love those customers that you would have like buying video games or buying movies when some kid brings up like a R-rated movie and you're like, you can't buy this without a parent. And the parent's like, oh, it's just violence. That's fine. And you're like, well, it has one scene where you see half of a nipple. No, Timmy can't take that. He's just a young boy.
I'm not going to get too off topic, I promise. But when I was a kid in the 1980s, my parents were pretty free with media that came in and out. Okay. Mm-hmm. As far as I remember, like, I mean, I wasn't aware if things were being banned from me, or sometimes my parents weren't aware. For instance, in the third grade, I got really into Prince.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And I listened to a lot of Prince, and like some of the lyrics were really sexually charged, but I didn't know what it meant.
Have you been in Lansdowne Place and listened to their music?
No.
No? It's okay. Great. No,
yeah. But anyways, there was one TV show I was not allowed to watch. At my parent, I guess somebody, I don't know if my mom saw it and she didn't like it, or I think I think my father's aunt didn't like it or something. And it was V.
The alien one.
I was not allowed to watch V because they were lizards and they ate people and it was just too violent and disturbing and disgusting. And V was like the only show on TV. However, there was a V cartoon, not cartoon, a V comic book.
Yeah.
And I could buy and read the V comic book. That was fine. But to actually watch a show that was...
Because it's only pictures. It's a little it's cartoons.
It was a comic, so it's obviously for kids, right?
Where in Faust, I don't think I've seen a movie that has this much graphic violence.
Okay.
Yeah, like, look at this man right here.
Okay,
People can't see it.
What's this guy doing?
He's laying there with bolt holes. I guess RoboCop maybe might have, like, the director's cut or the uncut.
Yeah,
RoboCop. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Baby. Is that just gloriously, awfully violent for no reason?
My hand stump that you just blew off. So, yeah, and this guy's naked as well, and his head's half off. But
like, I remember, yeah. I watched RoboCop, like, 3 years ago for the first time since I was probably, like, in my teens. And I was just like, man, this thing, like when the guy like gets cancer or whatever from the thing and explodes when he gets hit by the car.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting.
I can honestly say I have not seen it since I saw it in theaters. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like watching, I used to watch Total Recall on Fox 29 for the Sunday matinee. And it was heavily censored, of course.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Arnold is holding the guy in front of him on the escalator, and he's just using him as a meat shield, just absorbing all the bullets. And in the VHS version or DVD one, it's so graphic. But on TV, like, I don't remember how they skirted around that.
Interesting.
Yeah, because he's like, this guy just like shaking, like, it looks like he's having a seizure because he's being hit with so many bullets.
Wow.
And it's just like a red mess. Unless they did two takes. Like, this is the airplane version and TV, but yeah.
It's funny because I think they do that. Like, I have definitely watched movies on DVD or like Netflix now or whatever, and then been like, man, that's way more violent than I remember seeing it on TV, because obviously they must have cut a lot of violence out of the TV cuts. So yeah.
I remember watching Hackers on YTV. If anybody hasn't seen Hackers,
I've never seen Hackers.
No? The best hacking movie of 1995.
Okay. How many hacking movies were there in 1995?
Probably two or three. I don't know when Johnny Mnemonic came out. I think that was... That's a hacking movie.
But it was one of those things where they made one successful movie about hacking, and then all of a sudden everybody else followed suit, right?
Yeah, it's so good. It's one of my favorite movies.
No, I've never seen Hackers. I've never seen Total Recall.
Never seen Total Recall?
No, I've never seen Total Recall. Yeah, I know. These are things maybe I should do in my lifetime.
I would recommend Total Recall.
Yeah?
It holds up.
It does it?
Yeah, I wouldn't watch the Colin Farrell one from...
No, I don't generally watch remakes anyway.
Yeah, it's not...
Yeah,
it's
like, not I good. Just, I generally don't. But sometimes, though, I find that you have to see something when you've seen it. Like, we were talking about that where... I think one of the last shows I was on where we were talking about some of the movies that I'm seeing now for the first time.
Yeah, because you, was it Back to the Future?
Back to the Future, yeah. I was just watching the Back to the Future for the first time, like at Christmas. And I think one of my favorite stories is that one of my greatest disappointments as a film watcher was Princess Bride. Mm. And I'll tell you why, because I had heard about this movie from so many people over the years. It is the greatest movie on earth. It can cure cancer. Watch it, and if you have problems, it'll all go away. It is the greatest movie of all time. And I saw it for the first time in my 40s, and it was okay.
Yeah.
But You know what I mean? Like, but I'd heard that it's the greatest movie of all time for so long. And it was like, but I think if I saw it when it came out and had that nostalgic memory for it.
Yeah. The first time I saw it was within the last like 13, 15 years.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like a long time. I know.
But for you, it does. What were you,
that's
six?
The last half of your life.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. That's, my girlfriend made me watch it and it's fine. But yeah, I don't have a connection to it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like when I make her watch Highlander, I'm like, Danielle, let's watch Highlander. And she's like, not again.
Well, me and Chris and Marty went to the movies last night. And me and Chris were kind of talking about this. And the whole roundabout conversation went how we were talking about Game of Thrones. Because I hadn't seen those guys since Game of Thrones ended.
Yeah.
So we were talking about ending the Game of Thrones. I know that's, everybody's gone past that now, but we were talking
fine.
About it
for the
first. I liked Anyways, it. Yes. Anyway.
We've all watched it, so we can talk about it later.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So I was talking about Game of Thrones, and somehow it came into talking about how, and I was talking, it's something I've talked about before, but one of my beefs, and it's something I'm trying so hard to get past because I'm guilty of it as much as the next person, is toxic fandom on the internet.
Yeah.
And how before a movie comes out, everybody's going to hate it. Just they're going to hate it. They're going to hate on it. So I have this theory that everybody hated the last season of Game of Thrones before it even came out. Mm-hmm. Because I see stuff and I'm just like, I don't. So not long ago, when I was unpacking, I moved and I was unpacking, I came across my Star Wars movies and I rewatched the last two Star Wars movies and Solo.
Okay.
So yeah. I watched, I don't remember what they're called, The Last Jedi
and Force,
Awakens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Solo. And I hadn't seen any of them since they were in theaters, right? And I watch everybody belly aching and going on about how, what was the last one? It was The Last Jedi?
It goes Force Awakens, Last Jedi.
Okay, Last Jedi. Everybody's going on about how The Last Jedi is the worst Star Wars ever. It's the worst Star Wars ever. Oh my God, how bad it is. It's so bad. And I'm watching it. I'm like, I don't get why everybody hates this movie. Like, I really don't get it. I'm enjoying it, and I actually like it. I don't get this. And then I'm thinking, like, dude, like, if you hate this movie so much, I'm going to give you three words. The Phantom Menace. All right? Let's go back and watch The Phantom Menace. But here's the thing. Before you say something, this is what I realized when I'm talking to Chris, is the people who are going on the computer and bellyaching about this crap, they grew up on Phantom Menace. It was the first Star Wars movie they saw.
The Phantom Menace is so wizard, it's good.
No, it's not. It is one of the worst things ever produced, but I'm realizing the people grew up on it and they have that nostalgia for it and that connection for it and that love for it that I don't have. Mm-hmm. And that's why they love it so much. I still don't see how they think The Last Jedi is worse, like, because it's just it's not.
Weird.
But I realize that I'm at the age now where I am no longer the market audience for anything.
No.
And I'm no longer I'm middle-aged now, right? And I'm no longer the voice of the populace. So if I go on the line, online, and I start seeing all these pop culture statements, where one point I ran a pop culture site where I was being, like, published and quoted and I was considered an expert. Now I'm one of those old guys with old opinions that are saying get off your lawn, and I realize that I'm past it now.
But the opinion you're saying right now is stop telling things to get off your lawn and just enjoy it.
Well, yeah,
so that's a fun thing.
But
like, we've reached this because of the time and the length of time that the movies have been out.
Yeah.
Now there's the majority of people have probably grown up with Phantom Menace.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
You know, like, my kids watched Star Wars for the first time a couple weeks ago, starting with The Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. So they're not gonna realize those three garbage movies came 20 years after the good ones.
But I've talked to people.
They're great.
Where they're like, well, I never, you know what? I've talked to people. I don't want to name any names or make any comments about how they exist, I or their lifestyles or what they are, but there are these people who never watched Star Wars in their life. It's like, I don't get it. I'm like, why? Well, I got to the second one and it was just so horrible. I don't understand how you could go by. I'm like, you hated Empire? What's Empire? No, that second one. And I'm like, ah. Oh,
Attack of the Clones.
Of course not. Of course you didn't like it. Because of course you didn't. And it's kind of hilarious that we were talking about this, because I generally, as Dan knows, I don't even acknowledge those movies exist. Like, I actually put myself in a parallel way of thinking where those movies are a rumor. They did not happen. Maybe they happened, but I don't know about it. So this is a rare thing where I'll actually seriously talk about it. But, you know, in my head, it's like, I don't know what a Jake Lloyd is. You know, a Jake Lloyd. I don't know what that is.
What is it?
I don't know.
Is that from Star Wars?
I don't know.
Now we're all confused.
What are you even talking about? Somebody was telling me a thing about a Jar Jar Binks or something. What is a Jar Jar? Is that like a jam flavor?
He's a race of fictional water aliens.
You're making this up. Well, no. That's Admiral Akbar. He's a water alien.
To be fair, it's all made up.
Oh, it is God, all made Adam up. Bishop, you're funny.
So, but the thing is, I tried to watch. Sam, did you watch those movies when they came out?
Yes.
Like, this is.
And I tried to watch them afterwards, and I couldn't do it.
I was able to consume them when they came out.
Yeah.
But it's after the hype dies down, and after you're like, okay, there's like, because the hype of new Star Wars was. That got you through the bad parts of the first of Phantom Menace. And like, I saw all three movies in the theater. And then I tried to watch them on Blu-ray 10 years later, and I turned them off after 20 minutes.
Yeah, because they're terrible.
They're not good.
No, they're not good.
But the pod racing is awesome.
The pod is racing's not awesome. But
it's Space Ben-Hur. Who doesn't want Space Ben-Hur?
True. But here's my question. And maybe this is not what I'm missing, okay? And I know it's such an old topic. I don't even know how we got on this topic, but I'm watching Last Jedi, and I haven't seen, how many years has it been since it's come out?
Like 2 years.
Two years. Okay, so I'm watching it 2 weeks ago for my first time.
Wait,
since
I haven't
it came
seen
out.
That one yet.
Are you kidding me?
No, I saw the reboot. I shouldn't say a reboot. The C-boot. It's a soft reboot of The Force Awakens, but I haven't seen the new one. But you can go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyways, so I'm watching it for the first time since it came out in theater. I've heard so many people bellyache and moan about how it's the worst Star Wars ever, and this and this is wrong, and that's bad, and this is terrible. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, what are they even going on about? Like, it's okay. It's not Empire, but it's pretty darn good. The only thing wrong with it is Akbar dies. That's all that's wrong with it.
That's the crustacean?
It's Akbar.
Yeah, the crustacean.
That's the one that says it's a trap.
The greatest Star Wars character this side of Han Solo.
What about Wicket?
Oh, my God.
Was it Teak?
No. My two favorite... I will give you... Okay, here's a second. We're going to do a segue, but we're only going to do this for 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Okay, 3 minutes. Okay, so... My favorite Star Wars character is Admiral Akbar. Okay. But my second favorite Star Wars character, I will give you a high five if you can guess who it is in 3 minutes. Based on hints, I will give you a hint. Okay. First hint, but you have to ask questions after the first
Dash
hint.
Rendar.
No, you're wrong.
Damn it.
Okay. First hint, it's a villain.
Okay. Next.
Darth Vader.
No, it's not Darth Vader. You have to ask a question. And I'll answer.
What's
question
his name?
Honestly. That's not a good. I won't tell you that. All right.
Are they white?
Oh, interesting. Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's a villain.
It's a villain. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you only taking yes or
no?
No. Questions?
Go for it. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Any question until you guys get it.
What movie
minutes.
Is it from?
Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Are they human?
No.
Okay. Are they humanoid?
Yes.
Are they a robot?
No.
Is it Adam's mother? No.
Okay, we only got 2 more minutes here, guys. All right.
I give up. Who is it?
No, I won't tell you. You can't give up.
I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan. I don't know all these
Oh,
characters.
My God. It's Bib Fortuna.
Which one's that?
Pip Fortuna. Google it.
Okay.
All right, never mind.
I'll tell you my
Neither
favorite
of us
character.
Google
Who's
it.
That?
My favorite character is the green Twi'lek that's dancing before she gets thrown into the pit with the Rancor.
See, I've never even seen that.
That's from Jedi.
I know. Oh, wait. Yeah, it is from Jedi. The Twi'lek, yeah, she's kind of hot.
Yeah, she her mesh shirt was see-through.
Well, here's
and then
an
they
interesting
edited
thing.
It.
Bib Fortuna is the same race as her.
So a Twi'lek, I think.
Yeah, it's the same race.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dan.
Nerds.
Dan Comics.
Nerds.
Yeah, okay.
Comics
okay,
Dan.
Here we go. Anyways.
Now, I think what Sam is saying in general is the
Dumbo
people
Star Wars again?
The people who don't like the new movies like the prequel movies.
Maybe.
That seems to be.
It's just like how like Matt Smith fans generally don't understand Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They don't like any doctor that's not Matt Smith.
Or maybe David Tennant. Because they have very similar styles.
Yeah. See, yeah. Yeah. It's I guess it's all how where you discover it. All right.
I think Matt Smith. Yeah, Doctor Who, right? No, that's not who I thought it was. Never mind.
All right. Anyways.
So speaking of Doctor Who, since we're just on that topic, I don't know if you saw John Pertwee's fourth season is coming out on Blu-ray in the fall.
Very cool.
That's the one with like Carnival of Monsters.
I love Carnival of Monsters. It's one of my absolute favorites.
And the Three Doctors.
Three Doctors, one of my absolute favorites.
I love it. But sad news, the actor that played Omega just died.
Oh.
Did like a week ago.
Really?
But I just, when I saw that that season was being released on Blu-ray, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to watch The Three Doctors because that's probably my favorite story from that time period. Because I just love the interaction between Pertwee and Troughton.
Oh, so good.
You know? And so I just rewatched that.
Which Hartnell's line from that, which I love. Oh,
my replacement's a dandy and a clown.
A dandy and a clown, yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
That was Hartnell's last thing. He died not long after, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his last appearance doing anything. He was very ill when he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how those look on Blu-ray.
I love Carnival of Monsters because it's one. The Drashig is one of my favorite one-time only monsters on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And literally, you could tell that they have one special effect of the Drashig coming out of a swamp that's really impressive, and the rest of it is sock puppets with a little bit of rubber pasted on it. Superimposed to make it look huge.
I mean,
you could tell they used the entire sci-fi budget on that one shot
yeah.
And they use it over and over and over again, but then literally it's John Pertwee fighting sock puppets for the rest of the show. But ironically, as awful as that is, the story is so good. Like the writing in that episode was fantastic. So it's a weird episode.
The Blu-ray set comes out October 15th.
Which season is that?
It is season 10 of the overall series.
Is it called the Doctor Whoverse?
The Doctor Hoopers?
No, the Doctor Whoverse.
No.
Doctor Who?
Do they have a universe name?
They must have a universe name.
No?
They don't?
Okay,
no.
Doctor Whoverse.
Do you watch Doctor Who, Adam?
I've never seen it.
Okay, interesting.
I've seen Matt Smith movies before, though.
Like what?
Womb.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Matt Smith is a decent actor. I really enjoyed him in The Crown, actually. I thought he was better in The Crown than he was in Doctor Who. Well, I'm not a fan of his Doctor Who era. But he's a fine actor.
And they've also announced that there will be some familiar faces as far as villains in the upcoming season of Doctor Who. So
I saw the one, which is the...
The Jadoon?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the scene from that, which is cool.
Chris Gilpin is probably cheering because he was very wants to have returning villains.
I agree.
I'm okay with non-returning villains. It's like if you can make a good new villain. Mm. The problem is they didn't make good new villains.
No, they did not.
Like any new villain they made was just actually there was no new villains that they made that had any sort of personality or any sort of like quality that would make you want to have them back.
Mm-hmm.
They were all just generic monsters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to put a poster up in front of Adam because when he doesn't know what we're talking about, he just grins
I'm
and nods along.
I'm shaking my head. I'm like, oh yeah.
He looks so happy.
I'm like, Doctor Who?
Yeah.
People like that.
That's fine. I don't know a lot.
Here's your homework.
Things.
Before next week, watch all 50 years of Doctor Who.
They go into a phone booth, right?
Like, yeah. I do own it all on
it's
DVD.
It's a phone booth.
It's a phone. Like Colin Farrell.
The only thing I don't...
It's not Superman.
The only thing I don't own on DVD, I don't have the Jodie Whittaker season. Is he even out on DVD yet?
Yeah, it came out in January.
I should go buy that. Wait, how much is it?
I don't know. It was fairly cheap.
Yeah.
And to be honest, watching those episodes fast was good.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't a fan, if you remember.
I do remember.
But I watched when the season came out, I rewatched the entire thing, like, over the course of, like, 3 nights. And I was able to be like, okay, no, I enjoy some of these stories. So.
Yeah, I need to... See, I own... I think we've talked about this on the show before, but I inherited the entire Doctor Who series on DVD from a friend of mine who passed away. And I've been keeping up ever since he's passed away. I've been keeping up, making sure I have the current stuff. But yeah, the Jodie Whittaker's the only one I haven't bought yet. But I will. I will. That's a summer goal.
Is that Lady Who?
Yeah.
Kind of like Lady Thor, but
the current Doctor Who.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I like her. We've talked about this many times. It wasn't her fault. It wasn't her fault. She was really great, and they wrote her great. But the episodes were.
It was mostly Chris Chibnall's fault.
Well, they were really trying. It's like they were trying too hard because they were scared people weren't going to like her. Mm-hmm. And they wrote her just fine. She was great. She was believable. She was the character. You know, but it wasn't her fault. It wasn't her fault. But, of course, everybody on the internet hated it before it even aired. So, you know, because that's what they do. So, anyways, should we go on to your next comic or should we go into the next segue?
Well, we can go into a comic while Dan thinks with the segue. Right here I have Jean-Claude Van Damme in Cyborg.
What is this?
This is a Canon video comic. And if anybody knows what Canon is, it's just this B-movie company that pumped out movies up to like 80 a year. So they did Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah, the arm wrestling movie. Yeah,
where his salary was more than anything in the movie, the total production cost of the movie.
Oh, my God.
And the best thing about this comic book is you look at the cover, you're like, yeah, this looks like garbage, and then you open it.
That's a really awful cover.
Oh,
actually.
No, then you open it, and then you're just like, can I get my money back? Because...
Hey, no, man, this looks like one of those dick cartoons.
Yeah.
Not dicks as in
D-I-C.
D-I-C, yeah. Deke. It looks like a deke.
They did Cops.
Oh my God, look how awful this is.
It's true. So if you guys want to look up Cyborg comic book, you can probably find...
This is like the worst... Well, it's not the worst. No, it's pretty close.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I think every 4 pages, there's just a full page ad for Canon movies coming out on
that.
VHS.
Wow. What year is this from?
I don't know.
Adam, where do you find this trash?
It's what I look for. If you went through my comic collection at home, you would be like, do you have matches? Because I can burn this for you.
This, but you know what? That makes you quite an... look, a collection is just it's a matter of what's in it and what it means to you.
I don't like to use the word collection. I might have. I like to use the word library. Because collection means that you're collecting it, not doing anything with it. A library, you... browse, you watch, you read.
Yeah.
It's more...
See, I collect Andy Williams records because I believe that I'm the only one in the world who does. And this, to me, this Cyborg comic, to the comics, is what I would consider an Andy Williams record to me.
Yeah. Should we give credit to the artist?
Yes. Who is he? Who is he? And can we go and beat him up with a baseball bat?
Von Cleve, I'm sorry. And also Von Schully.
Those can't be their real names.
I don't know who this is. Yeah, this is Dan. Look at this. He looks like
Look at this, Dan. This is the worst.
Look at his face. He looks like the Toxic Crusader. That's a normal person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess the Toxic Avenger. The Crusader was the cartoon. So yeah, it's absolutely awful.
It's the worst. It's terrible.
It looks like a comic that thinks it's a comic. This is a comic book. That's what this is.
It is
a comic book.
This is a comic book.
Like, that is a comic book that somebody makes thinking, like, what are comic books supposed to look like? I know, like a cartoony style.
The back of it is just, come to video, September 20th, Cyborg. Oh,
well.
Which, I don't know if you guys know this, Cyborg, its script was the He-Man Masters of the Universe 2, because Canon did that movie, that was that script rewritten as... this movie.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Well, now we gotta watch it.
What a great facto. No, I'm not watching it.
What, Cyborg?
Yeah.
No desire to watch
that. There's a director's cut where they put it in black and white and take out all the music. And I guess they redub it because it's bad. of course.
Wow. Wow. Look, the things I learned from Adam Bishop. It's like, you're exploding my brain all over the
place
here.
If you want to learn about bad 90s things, go to Adam Bishop.
And I know some 80s as well.
No, you have always blown my mind with like the giant heaps of crap that you like, and I love you for it. It's actually what I think is why I like you, is the stuff that you bring stuff like that to the table. Like, it just, this is what makes you great.
Some of us read good comics and talk about them.
Some of us.
And the rest of us are Adam Bishop.
When I'm diving for comics, the first thing I'm doing is I'm looking for the first inch to see if it says Marvel DC so I can skip over it.
Right.
And then I see something like a canon comic. Was this North Star, I think? Rebel Studios, skip over values and all that stuff. But like, I want to see like imprints I've never seen before.
Okay, cool. The only comic I've been reading, but it's been so good this last couple of weeks. And I think I talked about this last time I was on the show, but I want to talk about it again because I found out new information for everybody. Greg Hyland's Frog Crisis has been absolute golden lately. He has been covering Margaret Atwood. He's been taking on the abortion issue in Georgia. He's been taking on the Toronto Raptors, and in his most latest couple of strips, he's been taking on Drake, and it has been golden. And I think last time I was talking on the show, the only way you could read Frog Crisis is to be a friend of Greg Hyland on Facebook. It is not true. Greg set me straight. And you can actually go to the Lethargic Lad Facebook page, and you can join up that, and he posts Frog Crisis every day. Next week, Greg will also be at Niagara Falls, and he's going to have some homemade Frog Crisis books, which a friend of mine is going to pick me up a couple. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
He's also been posting them on Instagram as well.
Oh, has he?
Because before he was just doing most of his Monster Atlas stuff, but he's been posting them on Instagram too.
I'm actually planning to buy... Monster Alice is $50, and I'm planning on buying it at the next Fan Expo because I've decided there's a friend of mine I want to buy it for Christmas. I just really think it's, and I've been finding the Volume 2 stuff really interesting.
Yeah,
I'd like to own it myself. Maybe if I can come up with $100 between here and Fan Expo, I might buy a copy for myself. But I'm definitely buying a copy of Monster Alice for my friend. Maybe I could buy it at Fan Expo and read it before Christmas. And then I could give it to my friend.
Tune in next Christmas.
Yeah.
You have 3 months from buying it.
Yeah, to read.
But like, it's not the kind of book that you just sit down and read through from page one.
Yeah, it's such a cool book.
No, it's like an encyclopedia of monsters.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
And what it does, it goes on to all these different monsters from movies, television, all over the place. And it goes and it goes like state by state, country to country, and where they're from. Like, for instance, in Brooklyn, New York, they have Cookie Monster, because from Sesame Street, he's actually his own entry, and it's Brooklyn because that's where Sesame Street was supposed to be. Or another example, I think that's one of the quickest examples I could think of. But the stuff in it. Now, what Greg did, he gets annoyed with when you come up with stuff that's not in it, and then he'll just tell you he very aggressively that he actually didn't put it in on purpose.
Can do expanded
to make you, you know, just for you. Like, I asked him last time, so is Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows there? And he's like, no, he's not, because I hate Dark Shadows, you know. And it's like, because
I like Dark Shadows.
You've never seen Dark Shadows, my friend.
I saw that Johnny Depp movie.
Yeah,
there's a fist coming towards him.
Face.
I know what Dark Shadows is. Okay. I just haven't seen
it. Fair enough. No, most of the people haven't. That's why I don't get to talk about it much, because...
But speaking of movies, have you seen the Dark Phoenix trailer? Or
We were at the movies last night,
and
I did see it, and I actually am pretty stoked.
I'm excited to see it, too. I love all the X-Men movies.
But
didn't
they do that in X-Men 3?
Yeah, but it's another C-boot, where they went back in time and they rebooted the universe.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Still there, but
No, it looks pretty cool.
Emma Frost is in it again, even though they had an actress play her in the reboot. It doesn't matter.
X-Men movies
don't
even... Do
those first three movies just not exist?
I don't think they do anymore. I don't think... The X-Men movies just don't... They don't... Actually, I inherited all the X-Men movies.
Oh, congratulations.
From the same friend who I inherited the Doctor Who movies from. Yeah. And I hadn't seen all of them at that point. And I did enjoy going through
them all. They're all great.
They all... No,
Yeah.
No, not all of them, but most of them.
The third one isn't great.
The third one is not great.
Which third one?
X3.
That's the one with the one, Phoenix.
That's why they're remaking it, Adam, because it's not great.
Cyclops died right at the beginning, so you got rid of him. And everyone, like, clapped and said, thank you for leaving. Nobody likes Cyclops.
I don't know. I like Cyclops.
Really? The actor's great.
He's not my favorite, but I like him okay.
James Marsden?
Marsden. Didn't he? And he left so he could go to be
Superman.
Superman's son's...
Love... interest
daddy
rival
thing or whatever. Yeah. That was goofy.
I'm excited to go see Dark Phoenix.
All right, we went and saw Brightburn or Burn Bright or Bonfire Bright Light.
Brightburn
or Brightburn, that was it. Yeah, we went and saw that last night. I can't remember the title, and that's a depressing movie. That was like, I think Chris and Marty really liked it. And they looked at me and I was like, wow, that was a real downer of a film. And they're like, didn't you like it? I'm like, I don't know. It was all right, I guess, but it's so depressing. Like, I just, at the end of it, I was just like, I just really depressed. And it was funny watching it, though, because I watch a lot of horror films, right? Marty does not watch so many horror films. And he was like jumping out of his seat and screaming and at the edge of his seat.
It is a horror movie, right?
It's supposed to be a horror movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was pretty, for me, on the horror factor, like, it was sort of you know, I don't know, like on a scale of 1 to 10 on scary, to me, it was about maybe a 3. But Marty, I was just like, man, I'm not going to bring you to a Conjuring film. Forget that, man. You're not going to be able to live through that if this is freaking you out. But yeah, it was okay. Like, it was all right. I didn't feel like I wasted my money. I'm glad I watched it. But I'll never watch it again. And as I said, like, it was so depressing at the end. What a downer of a film. I don't want to give away the ending, but let me just tell you.
Don't ruin it.
Don't ruin it. Not like Google did.
Oh yeah. See,
Google ruin it for everybody?
Is that just the end of the movie?
I don't know. I didn't read the Google article. It didn't come up on my Google, but Marty was explaining it to me.
Yeah, Marty got Google spoiled and then proceeded to spoil every one of us by posting that same thing.
Hey,
so,
let's spoil some movies for the audience right now.
No.
Okay. Yeah, no, seriously. Barbara Hershey dies at the end of Beaches.
Not a single person who listens to this show will watch the movie Beaches, other than you. So.
Oh, okay, so there was this thing in the movie theater before the movies, right? And it was like this Mother's Day thing. It was like this really lovable montage to mothers and film and all these things. And I'm watching this thing, I'm like, all right, there's two famous moms in this. They didn't do Norman Bates' mom, and they didn't do Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest. Why didn't they put them in there? This isn't, what is this? It was all inspirational stuff. I want no more wire hangers, you know, like, that's all I asked for.
So the movie, what was the movie called again?
Brightburn. So, did I get it right?
Yes.
All right, high five.
So right. I also had never heard of it until Martin posted it. And I was just like, I don't know what this is. I haven't seen a trailer for it.
Neither.
And then I heard what it was about. And I'm like, oh, cool. I still don't care. But then I was like, is this kind of like Chronicle? Have you seen Chronicle?
No.
Dan, have you seen Chronicle?
No.
Okay, so it's kind of like the comic Akira.
Okay.
But like North Americanized.
Okay.
And I thought it reminded me of what that movie was from what I heard, but I don't know. Well, you can't.
I never heard of it until Marty was like, hey, do you want to go see this movie? And yeah. I'm like, you know what? You're like, sure. Like, I'm not doing anything Thursday night. I'll go. And the movie I really want to see is Godzilla.
Which I heard is really good.
Which I heard is really bad.
If you're a
Godzilla fan,
you're going to enjoy it.
I am a Godzilla fan. Yeah. But anyways, a buddy, a guy I work with, him and his brother, his brother is a massive Godzilla fanatic, and they went last night.
Did he enjoy it?
He loved it.
Yeah,
and he said his brother was just through the moon over it. For me, my favorite Japanese monster is Mothra.
Okay.
I love Mothra, and Mothra's in it, and King Ghidorah and Rodan.
Is Gamera in it? I know it's not the same.
No, Gamera is not from...
Is the ripoff.
It's the ripoff. It's not owned by Toho.
Which I like Gamera.
I like Gamera because Gamera.
So does Dan. Dan loves Gamera.
Because Gamera shoots fire out of its ass and flies. You know? Yeah. That's just bananas. But no, that's Toho. That's not Toho. That was the
something else.
They were trying to...
My big problem with Godzilla movies is always, I don't care about the humans. I know you have to use them to progress what the narrative is for the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, with Stranger Things girl, like, I don't care.
Oh, she in it?
Yeah, she's
in it. Oh, I didn't even know that. I didn't care. I just want to see Mothra.
Yeah, I want to see the
You know,
I
like,
see
that's all I want to see.
Fight.
The only thing that John did me, spoilers, the only thing John at work told me is that I didn't really like, it's not going to really wreck anything, is I asked him, see, the thing about Mothra, I love Mothra because I can understand Mothra, because I can get behind Mothra. Me and Mothra, I understand the soul of Mothra.
Had a trilogy of its own movies.
Yes, it did. It's a she.
She, Mothra
and
had a trilogy.
I own all
her,
the Mothra
so.
Films, and literally what it is Mothra just likes her J-pop. And if you steal her little, like the twins
right?
Yeah. And they're like tiny, and if you steal them, they literally get kidnapped, and Mothra just decimates Japan looking for them, you know? And then in the second one, something else happens to him, and Mothra, but it's not Mothra because Mothra dies, and it's like Mothra's daughter decimates Japan looking for them again. And in the third one, which was Godzilla, I think the third film Mothra shows up. It is King Ghidorah, and the little singers are advisors or something like on that. They don't get kidnapped. They're not in danger. But I asked John. I'm like, John, is the two little girls that sing and call Mothra, and he's like, no, they're not in it. And I'm like, oh, then how do they know? How does Mothra know where to show up? Because they got Mothra, 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 you know, and that's what they do. And did you know, this is my version of you telling me crap that nobody cares about. the girls from Mothra, they were actually like a pop singing duo in Japan at the time that had released albums prior to Mothra, like the Mothra movies. Like, they were known as pop singers, mm-hmm. or whatever was the equivalent of that at the time it came out. I don't think there was a J-pop scene in, 1962? I don't think that was a thing yet. But I don't know. I just Mothra just likes music, man. And Mothra's just like, I just need my pop singer. What do you mean they're not here? Oh, my God. I'm totally destroying Tokyo. It's crazy.
Segwaying about creatures destroying
Tokyo?
Things.
Okay.
Maybe not Tokyo. I've been on a Dark Side kick right now.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah. I picked up... I bought the Great Darkness Saga, which is the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
And was reading that and was posted on Facebook just looking for recommendations mm-hmm. on other good Dark Side stories.
There's none.
There is.
I was trying to think... I was like, I was trying to think about it. I'm like, I cannot think of a single Dark Side story Legion one.
It's all Superman stories.
But even things featuring Dark Side heavily, I can't think of anything.
But like, about the New Gods?
But he wasn't featured like as a super main character. He was always in the background.
He's just part
of
the
New
Gods.
Yeah, like he was the villain. He was like present as an ominous figure, but. There was never, like, stories that was, like, got into the soul of Darkseid, you know, like, that I've read. Maybe there are, and I just haven't read them, which is very possible.
And one of the stories that actually got a lot of support that I wasn't expecting was Final Crisis, which I actually really enjoy, and I'm rereading. I now own it. The single copies, I bought it in hardcover, and I just bought it digitally
Did you not buy flipping. My copies?
I think I might have bought
some of yours. Yes, you own my original copies that I had. That's how much I loved it. I sold it to you for what?
A buck a piece,
yeah, probably.
No, I love it. It's so meta and so just, it's, I don't know. I love the art,
was Grant Morrison that wrote that?
Yes, Grant Morrison.
That's, yeah. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm just like, you like... Final Crisis, like whatever that was.
I don't read any DC, so I'm just like, I don't know these stories. Did they make a movie out of Final
no.
Crisis? I saw Apocalypse. That was a movie. Not
That's
X-Men.
Marvel.
No. Like, Batman, Superman, Apocalypse.
Okay.
That was a movie.
Right. That was a cartoon about Darkseid. Adam gets a cookie.
All right.
Yay.
All right. Hand five.
He has to provide the
cookies. So talking about cookies, Something really funny happened to me. It's all going to be connected. Trust me.
Sam got two cookie packets Happy Meal.
All right. So I was at my mom's a little while ago. My mom runs a daycare. And I was going, they have like a cupboard of cookies, right? Like a cookie cupboard. And I went into the cookie cupboard and there was a box of Justice League of America cookies. And I was like, oh my God.
From what
Justice
year?
League. No, like recent.
Okay.
Justice League cookies. Oh my God. And I totally jump in, and it's like for kids. It's a little package, and you open it, and there's cookies shaped like the Superman symbol, the Batman symbol. And I'm like, and somewhere in my brain, and I don't know why, like immediately when my brain is, oh my God, maybe there's going to be a Black Canary and a Zatanna cookie in here. And then I realized very quickly,
no,
there will not be. And you know what? I was right. There wasn't.
Whenever one of my favorite artists, Shane Glines, posts pictures of Black Canary on Twitter, I always I send them Sam. I'm like, here's some Black Canary.
And he's a great artist.
Oh, Shane Glines is great.
You know what? I should have had, if I had seen those earlier, I might have had one of his tattooed on me instead of the one I have.
Yeah, he does.
They're amazing.
He does a lot of the concept art and character designs for stuff that Bruce Tim Paldini did as well.
Yeah.
I love me some Bruce Tim.
Oh.
Which I brought another book. It's an easy segue.
The Good Girl Art of Bruce Timm.
So Bruce Timm, if you've ever seen a DC comic cartoon show where they all look like action figures, that's Bruce Timm's style. Wow. And I would recommend not to try and find this book because it's out of print and a lot of money now.
I have some Bruce Timm. I got some Bruce Timm Black Canary and Zatanna statues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're... Yeah. His are so nice.
But nice.
Batman the Animated Series, Superman.
Bruce Timm is literally like...
DC.
If you, regardless of whether you've watched or whether you know anything about DC, if you see something, you would know this style.
Yeah.
He's got such an iconic style.
Yeah, he really redesigned comics back in the 90s.
One of my X-Men Essentials books has a cover drawn by Bruce Timm, and it's very jarring to see the X-Men drawn in that style.
Yeah.
Where you see, Jean Grey, and you're like, well, no, that looks like the lady with the long red hair.
Medusa.
Yeah, that's who looks like we're an X-Men costume. So it looks wrong. Like, when you see Marvel characters in that style, because you feel like that shouldn't happen.
Right.
But it's amazing to see it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's a really cool book. When did you get that?
This I got, oh my God, years ago. This is the second edition, because the first one was... went out of print because they had licensed characters in it, and they wanted to bring down the price. This is 2013.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, so
cool.
Not that
That's a really neat book.
Not for kids. Bruce Timm likes women.
Yeah,
I don't know what else to say.
It's fine. It's a very cool book, though. I really like that. So, no, Dan wants it. Dan's pure of heart.
He is.
Dan can't read that stuff.
Keep that with your other porn books.
Dan's our Captain Planet.
He really is, isn't he? Of course, did you ever really look at... No, I don't want to go there.
No,
I don't want to... one time I wrote an article, which no longer exists, where I made some very off-color jokes about certain characters. And Captain Planet's one I went after. And now that I'm older and wiser and smarter...
Captain Planet is so wholesome.
Yeah.
All the proceeds for his merchandise went towards the environmental cause.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it was Ted Turner's baby that he was...
Ever notice he was wearing hooker boots?
Captain Planet?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, I guess.
Have you seen Batman's boots and his action figures? How high they go up? They have spikes coming off the back.
Yeah,
so.
But they're pirate boots.
They're pirate boots? No.
They are. Yes, they are. It's
speaking
going
of pirates...
Johnny Depp?
No. Actually, I'll just segue from something that I was talking about, which is the New Gods.
Yes.
Yes.
Tom King is apparently writing a New Gods feature film.
We'll see.
And now, quick segue. Tom King no longer on the Batman book.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this, Sam?
No. Tell me about
this. He's being basically forced off of Batman with issue 85 instead of... he was expected to go to issue 100. But,
so why is he being forced off?
Well, it seems like he doesn't necessarily like to play ball with editorial as much as maybe he should.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of just wants to do his own thing, which, I mean, that's expected, I think. Like, when Tom King was DC's superstar.
Yes.
Right? Like, he was the one that they... built up from the ground up into the next big thing.
Yeah.
Right. But then they got Bendis over there, and then they got like other people, and now they don't need him. So they're just kind of like, okay, whatever. But they're also blaming him for the fact that like Batman isn't selling, you know, 95% market share. So.
So lame.
Yeah.
See, whenever I hear comic sales, it's always like, Marvel's doing this. People don't like it, but I rarely hear things about DC doing anything with their titles. And I'm sure they are, and I'm just not looking the right places.
Oh, you are not looking at the right places.
Good, yeah,
but what they do, you know what? But I think this is one of the things that I have that in many ways has turned me away from comics is this kind of garbage.
Yeah.
And what DC has done over the years with stuff like the New 52. I think the New 52 really hurt my enthusiasm about DC. And every time trying to fix the New 52 over and over and over and over and over again. And these are the stunts they play. What's happened with Archie Comics, I've talked about many times about it's marketing, and it's not about writing good stories anymore. It's not already about characters we're interested in or characters we love. It's not about creator creativity anymore. It's about following the party line. And it's about, you know, and that's back. And again, let's talk about this guy here. Back in the 80s, we could have a guy like Marv Wolfman and George Perez. Who could do like 100 issues of New Teen Titans because they were allowed to do whatever they wanted. And they could just go. And now, like, we're lucky if we get a guy who does, you know, 12 issues a book before they're forced off because it wasn't selling enough. Because they were following the mandate that the editorial set through. I think the last time I really saw anybody go nuts and last 100 issues was when Dan Slott was doing Spider-Man. Although he ran out of steam after a while and it started to suck. But he did a good 100 issues because Marvel was just like, you know what, Dan, you're doing great. Let's just get you to run with it.
But
and I think Marvel allows their creators more to do that than DC does. DC is definitely like, you know what, like I'll tell you a great story off air that a comic writer told me about writing with DC that I've never told him I would never tell.
Well, it's good that you're saying this right now then.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It'll be privately though.
It'll private, yeah. But to tell you exactly the way it all works.
But
yeah.
there's a fallacy in your logic there, Sam.
Okay, what's that?
Because none of these companies let their series get to 100 issues anymore.
But that's the
thing
too.
And then it just reboot with new writer, new artist.
And that's so. Crap too. Like they don't give us enough time to get attached to these characters or these storylines.
I don't mind if they reboot as long as they end the story before they start again.
Look, I can talk about stories I read when I was 13 years old, but I can't talk about a story I read when I was 36.
Well, I can. Well, I'm not 36 yet. But,
but that's what I'm saying, right? Is because yeah. because stories when I, you know, because they had these long, super long runs. Like, I remember they'd be subplots that would last 12, you know, more than 12 issues.
Yeah.
You know, let alone the
even with
the
like
bigger plot.
With X-Men, I don't feel it's been really good since they introduced like House of M. Like, that was, for me, that's the new golden years of the X-Men.
Okay.
We're like 1992 X-Men.
Mm-hmm. I was reading 80s X-Men, bro. Claremont.
Oh yeah. Oh, that stuff is great. But like before that, like the Stanley Kirby stuff, it's fine. But
yeah. But when I'm talking about like Chris Claremont's another great example. He,
oh, yeah.
He wrote what, over 100 issues of X-Men, and you know it's revered as classics, mm-hmm. right? They just don't do that anymore. And I think, in my opinion, it is because of this kind of nonsense, like the marketing.
That becomes shareholders being like, this is like. They go to a shareholder meeting, they see stuff isn't selling, mm-hmm. they complain, they want people taken off. Because in the end, you're not appeasing the fans, the buyers of the comic books. You're looking at your shareholders who are funding your company, which is the worst way to look at any business.
Yeah, it really
but
is.
But that's how businesses look
unfortunately.
At. Yeah.
And you know what? I think, again, it's one of the things is I think, and this is the thing, and I think on one of the last shows I was on, I bellyached about this. Is where I was saying that comics now, it's not about the comics anymore, it's about the movies and the marketing.
Yeah.
And it's all about it's I think when 20, 30 years ago, nobody cared about comics. So the writers could do whatever they wanted because nobody had an invested interest in it. Now that it's comics have become big business and these characters have become big business, you got these people that aren't comic creators that, like the shareholders, that are now starting to dictate how it should be, right? And we need to play by their rules. And that's why I think stuff like Image and the creator-owned stuff is more interesting these days, is because
100%.
They don't have any invested. There's no invested interest in this.
Yeah.
You know, like Kirkman's a great example, but he can do whatever he wants in Walking Dead at this point because it's his franchise and it's been successful.
Including killing off Rick Grimes?
I've only seen the first episode of the series, so I don't
know.
This
is not the thing. I haven't read the current issue, but apparently Rick Grimes gets seriously injured, possibly even killed in the newest issue of Walking Dead.
It's about frickin' time.
Even if they would just chop off his other hand, I'd be okay with it. Because then it'd be a better story.
Get out of here. But yes, I need to read that issue and see what happens. But
my girlfriend and I are probably going to start the show soon. When should we stop watching it?
Episode two.
You hate it, though. That's right.
Episode two. Read the books. Read the books. You don't know.
Wait, are there motion comics for it?
Oh, my God.
Sam.
There's emotion comics, which Sam is going through right now. Stop reading the comic when Daryl gets there.
Is that Norman Reedus?
Yeah. He's not in the comic. That was a joke.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Right. I didn't know that.
I don't know what Norman Reedus is.
Anyways, on that note, let's wrap up this show. So, as always, you can tune in on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. It's Spotify. Are we on Spotify?
Podcast Addict.
If you say so.
Well, yeah. I think it just grabs from iTunes, though, to be honest.
So there's multiple ways to listen to this episode and previous episodes, and tune in next week because we will be here again.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?